I can find it. Our Bible study tonight is out of Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Repeat dysfunction in God's enhanced discipling. It's a very interesting situation. There are times when God's saints don't get over a sin very quickly. They have a tendency to repeat it, and that gets them into trouble. It's interesting to see what the Lord does. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel's patriarchs and their respective wives and families, though blessed of God, were imperfect people who at times made huge mistakes that led to serious marital and family dysfunction. Thankfully, Romans 15:4 states that we can learn from whatsoever things were written in the Old Testament for our edification, and that includes our learning how to overcome the dysfunction of Israel's patriarchs. Review Genesis 20, 1-18 on God's dealing with repeat dysfunction and his enhanced discipling. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Genesis chapter 21-18. And Abram journeyed from thence toward the south country, the Negev, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourning in Gerar. And Abram said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said unto him, Behold, you are but a dead man for the woman which you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And she, even she herself, said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands I have done this. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst it this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me, therefore did I not permit you to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. And if you restore her not, know that you shall surely die, you and all that are yours. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants, and told all these things in their ears, and the men were very afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What have you done unto us, and what have I offended you, that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What did you see that you did do with this thing? And Abram said, Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister, she's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, This is my kindness, thy kindness, which you shall show unto me. At every place where we shall come, say of me, He is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before you, dwell where it pleases you. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I've given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with you, and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abram prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his men servants, maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Okay, out of fear, Abram and Sarah repeated their initial lies, saying that she was his sister to keep Abraham from being killed by a pagan ruler who wanted to marry his beautiful wife. Now, technically, she was his sister, but he was leaving the implication that she was his full sister, so that he wasn't married to her. That was the implication. So it was a lie because of what he was presenting. Well, this deed violated God's precedent, where he had made one woman for one man, taking a rib from Adam's side to make Eve, so that Adam would view her as part of himself in an unbreakable marital union. It's interesting, when I was reading this, I noticed in chapter 20, in verse 6, when God talked to Abimelech, he says, I withheld you from sinning against me. Adultery is a sin against God. Because God's plan is for one man and one woman. That's God's pattern. You break that pattern up with adultery, that's a sin against God. It's not only a sin against the innocent partner in the partners in the marriage, it's a sin against the Lord. So since this sin was a repeat failure on the part of Abram and Sarah, the Lord enhanced his effort to disciple them with more pain, that they might learn to cease committing that sin. When the Philistine ruler Abimelech desired to have Sarah, and Abram and Sarah had misled him by claiming that she was his sister to imply that she was not his wife, God warned Abimelech in a dream that he would die since he had taken another man's wife. Abimelech had not yet come near Sarah, so he replied to the Lord asking if he would also slay a righteous nation. This statement would later haunt Abraham when he heard Abimelech tell him about it, for Abraham himself had asked God if he would slay righteous Lot with the unrighteous people of Sodom when Abraham had interceded for Lot's family in Genesis. So here, Abraham's getting the Lord to critique him. I mean, here he was interceding for a righteous man, and what in the world is he doing here? He's putting another righteous man in danger. So God answered Abimelech in another dream, saying he knew Abimelech had taken Sarah in his integrity, so the Lord had kept him from committing adultery with her. However, God warned him to restore Sarah to Abram, for Abram was a prophet, and he would pray for Abimelech that he and all that he had might not die. And of course, this instruction would have humiliated Abraham, for God was directing that Abraham be put in the awkward position of having to pray for Abimelech like he had interceded to the Lord for Lot, all because of the lie Abraham himself had told about his relationship to Sarah that had led Abimelech to get into trouble with the Lord. See, Abraham with his lie and Sarah with the lie had created this crisis for Abimelech. And so Abram is having to face the fact that he got this dear man into trouble. It was his fault. And yet the Lord is saying, okay, you're going to have to intercede for him, just like you interceded for Lot. And so Abram has to, we call this about eating crow. You have to eat your own medicine. Well, the next morning Abimelech told his servants these things. They were afraid. He then asked Abram what he had done to bring on him this kingdom, and this kingdom such a great sin. Abram confessed that he feared that Abimelech did not revere the Lord, so that the Philistines would kill him for his wife. That was incidentally a typical practice in those days. Abram added that Sarah was indeed his sister as well as his wife, for she was his half-sister by his father's other wife. Abram confessed that he had asked Sarah to claim that she was his sister in order to preserve his life. Well, Abimelech then returned Sarah to Abraham along with sheep, oxen, male, and female servants, and told Abraham to live wherever he wanted to live in the land that Abimelech might please God. The Philistine ruler, notice what he did. He also told Sarah that he had restored her to her brother. That's a slam, because that's the story that she had told him. So I'm giving you back to your brother. Now, he didn't say, you know, your husband, your brother. So he's critiquing her. And it's a statement that was a veiled rebuke of Sarah for her deception of him about her relationship with Abram. See, it's not only Abram's at fault here. Sarah's at fault because she lied. So Abimelech also gave Abram 1,000 pieces of silver to protect Sarah's reputation. The phrase, "he is a covering to thee of the eyes," in verse 16, meant that Abimelech's large payment was proof of his high esteem for Abram and Sarah that would serve to stop any scoffing on the part of her household for her lie and her nearly committed sin of adultery with Abimelech. See, this would be normally a shame for a woman to get herself in this kind of a condition. So consequently, Abraham interceded for Abimelech as he had interceded for Lot to the Lord, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they were able to bear children. Fertility was extremely important in the Middle East at this particular time. If you didn't bear children, or if you couldn't, if your cattle didn't bear and everything, that was seen as a curse from the gods. So the Lord had dealt with Abimelech in an area where he was very, very keenly sensitive to it. So anyway, God had closed up the wombs of the household of Abimelech in judgment because of Abimelech's taking Sarah into his harem. So Abraham's intercession kept Abimelech's household from harm. So when Abram and Sarah repeated his lie that she was his sister to cause another pagan ruler to think he could marry her, God enhanced his discipling of Abram and Sarah, embarrassing them into avoiding that sin. Humiliation in the Middle East is almost as bad as death, okay? It's not so much in our country. In our country, humiliation is just sort of something you deal with it and go on. But in the Middle East, and in the Far East, especially in China, it's humiliating a person in public, you might as well kill them. I mean, it's that kind of a situation. And so what the Lord did, something that was culturally significant to them, he went ahead and embarrassed them. But then he allowed Abimelech to cover for them so that they wouldn't be continually embarrassed by other people. So God discipled them, but he turned up the heat, so they wouldn't be motivated to do that one again. So the application is, may we learn not to repeat past sin, lest God enhance his discipling effort by inflicting more pain. Boy, I've seen God do that in my own life. I've seen him do it in the lives of other people as well. God is very merciful, he's very long-suffering, but if we do an end run around God to do something that is wrong, look out. He'll be waiting there, and he can turn up the heat. So God is a God to be revered and respected, and that's how we overcome dysfunctions. When he teaches us, we need to learn the lesson so that we can put a period and move on. If we don't, he turns up the heat.